The greatest power you will ever experience is the power of God's love towards you.
Death has been defied, and the grave has been denied.
The gospel of Jesus Christ does not revolve around your love and commitment towards God, but it revolves around God's love and commitment towards you.
Now, what a relief, forgiven and free.
God is not a sin-conscious God, but a worth-conscious God. And you are worth so much to Him. The following program revolves around God's love for you, when you can discover your worth and enjoy the life God has dreamt for you. Welcome to Living by Grace. It is such a blessing for me to come to you today and just wash your feet with a message of God's love for you, His care for you. The gospel is the message of God's love for mankind. And I trust that you're going to be deeply blessed by today's message. Today we're going to look at John 3:16, and we're also going to look at the definition of the word love. I want you to brace yourself and get ready for a revelation of the love of God that can change your life completely. Let us come and have a humble heart and say, Lord Jesus, we are going to see and discover how high, how wide, how deep, and how long your love is, for your love is the greatest power and the greatest force known to man. You know, so many times when we think of the love of God, we think of an elementary message, something that is not deep. I can remember one day I preached at a church and they asked me for the title of the message, and I sent it through 2 days before I preached, and they asked me, what am I going to preach on? I said, I'm going to talk about the love of God. And then they said to me, but can't you speak about something a bit deeper? Now imagine your wife comes and says to you, I love you. And you say to her, man, can you not say something deeper to me? You know, the deepest thing that there is, the greatest revelation you can ever have is that of God's love and how God expressed that love towards us. You know, the love of God is not stagnant, but it is powerful and it can equip you unto a brand new life. So, you know, we need to have a revelation of God's love. You know, many times when we talk about the love of God, we have it, we think of it as, well, you know, God loved us and He is love, and that love will bring forth a brand new life. So let us focus on the brand new life. Let me say that again, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Now, so many times we think of the love of God and we say, yes, we know God is love and we know that the love of God will change our lives. So let us focus on how to change our lives. That is completely wrong, and it's just an absolute contradiction. In my life and in the 25 years that I've had to do with the Lord, I want to tell you that which brought the greatest change in my life was a revelation of how valuable I am to God, of how He believes in me, of how He loves me, and how He has come and included me in the Trinity, in the Godhead, in Jesus Christ, and He's given me a place where He can share His quality of life with me by the Holy Spirit. And that has impacted me and changed me in the greatest way you can ever imagine. Now, when it comes to words and the meaning of words, it's very important to know the original meaning of words. And I want to explain that to you. You know, many times, you know, we look at the Greek and we look at the Hebrew and we look at all the old meanings of words, and we would say, why do we go and even look at those words? Why is there, why do we go and study those words? Don't we just have an English Bible and we can just read for ourselves? Now, before I explain any of that, and as we talk about the love of God, I want to say this. You don't need to understand Hebrew. You don't need to understand Greek. You don't have to be able to read or write in order to have a proper understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Word of God. And if somebody just comes and tells you on what Jesus has done, that there was a man that came to the earth that incarnated our human flesh and our sinfulness and incarnated that and took all our sin upon him, washed all our sins away, was raised from the dead, and so he will bring that resurrection life of Christ forth in us, in those who believe him. I want to tell you, you have reached the depths of the gospel. You've reached the fullness of the understanding that you can have in this life. If you can just see that. If you can just behold what Jesus did and what his death and resurrection stands for, that is it. And if you can see yourself included in that, you have reached the revelation that you can reach. That revelation will be applied by the Holy Spirit in our life. So I want you just to know that. You know, it doesn't help we come and we think that that people that understand Greek and Hebrew are superior to us. So when we look at Greek, when we look at Hebrew, when we look at the original language, it is not to be puffed up or think that we're better than others, but to just understand what is that original simple gospel. You know, when I say this, I'm thinking of a time when I was in Malawi. I preached there years ago, and we were in the bush, and there was a, it was also a travel destination, that area where we've been. And we had some backpackers come through there. And there was a bush pub. And I was alone there preaching the gospel. And the friend that was with me got malaria, and we had to send him back to South Africa. And I was alone there. And so I looked for some fellowship and just some people to share the gospel with. So I went to this bush pub, and I was just sharing the gospel and talking to people about Jesus. And you know, in a situation like that, they always ask you, where do you come from? And what are you doing here? And that moment they asked me, what do? It's such an opportunity to share the gospel. And I was there, and we just fellowshipped, and I had a rough day, so it was early bedtime for me. And as I left the pub on the way to my tent, I saw the moon rise over Lake Malawi. And it was so beautiful. It was undescribable. It was just, I mean, you can't just put it into words. It's so beautiful. And I thought, let me go back and tell these five or six people that's sitting there, they must come and watch this moonrise over the lake. And they came and they watched it. And I just said to them, listen, you need to watch this. It is extraordinarily beautiful. Come and have a look. And as they came, the lady, and I mean, she did smoke some marijuana and stuff, and you know, she was looking at this lake, and she said, yeah, wicked, man, really wicked. Now, imagine that. I used the words extraordinary beautiful, and she used the words wicked. Now, what is it? Is it wicked or is it beautiful? You know, the meaning of a word is connected to what the person who said it or who wrote it meant when it was written. And as language grows and expands, we find meanings of words change, like the word gay. If you go and look at the word gay, you will find the Bible says, why do you show respect for those who wear gay clothing? Now that just means nice, happy clothing. That's what it means. It doesn't talk about what it would mean today, sexual orientation, and it's got certain connections with it. So in the very same way, we're going to have a look at the word love and what the word love means so that we can get the original meaning of the word love. Now, the word love today became a decision of your will. I shall love. Now, that is not what love means, especially in church circles. If I look at my own life, the word love was made a verb wherein I had to work and I had to make a decision. Love is a decision. And that is, I want to tell you, love is not a decision. And that is not what the original language says. Now, we're going to look at John 3:16, I think the most powerful verse in the Bible. Let's just have a look at John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, just look at the first word in red there, the word love there. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. It doesn't say he tolerated the world. says he loved the world, that whoso, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that word believes means to have a mind at rest, who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, when we look at that passage, we see that God loved the world, and he didn't come to condemn the world, but he wanted the world to be saved through him. He wanted the world to have everlasting life. So many times we think, you know, God has just come to destroy the world so that he can save five Christians. No, the Bible says God loved the world. Now that word loved there, if we look at Thayer definition, and we must realize when we look at this definition, we look at it in the context of an expression towards the world. Right, let's look at Thayer there. It says, the word love means of persons to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. Meaning, for God so loved the world, God so welcomed the world, God so entertained the world, not tolerate, entertain. God was so fond of the world, God so dearly loved the world, of things, to be pleased, to be contented at, or to be content with a thing. So God was so well pleased, and God was so content with the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that absolutely awesome? So when we look at the love of God, and we look at the original meaning of the word love, we see that it is a feeling inside the heart of God because of seeing value and seeing beauty. That is what it means. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, we need to realize that it was something that was in the heart of God towards the world while people did not believe in him, while people was against him. One of the greatest things we need to realize about God is that he will never confuse you with what you're going through. He will never confuse you with what you do or he will never confuse you with the slavery you are under. He loves you. If you think of your child and you're walking in a shopping mall and you're holding your child's hand, and your child's about 4 or 5 years old, and you're buying things in the mall, and you say to him, just stay here with mommy or stay here with daddy. You know, don't wander off. Why are you saying that? Because you know his value and you know the dangers that there are in this world, and there are people that will come and snatch him away or do him some harm. And you want to protect him. That's why you say that. Now imagine you are buying and all of a sudden you see your son's gone. What would be the first thing you're thinking? You would be thinking, man, where is he? I told him that he should be here with me. And you would start to walk down the aisles, and normally he's just one aisle down, you know, maybe at the sweets or at the toys department, and you'll find him there and say, you need to listen to me. But what if you look for him and after 5 minutes you can't find him? What will happen in your heart? Are you loving him less because he's lost? Are you loving him less because you don't know where he is, and maybe he's been disobedient and you don't know where he is? How would you feel after 10 minutes? And then the question, how would you feel after an hour and after a week? If your child is lost, imagine 2, 5 years, 10 years down the line, how would you feel? Imagine that child was sold to somebody and he became a sex slave. Are you going to judge him and hate him because of the sexual immorality that he is going through? No. You're not going to confuse him with what he's going through. You will always see his original value. And I want to tell you that can be offensive to certain traditions of Christianity or any kind of religion. But I want to tell you, God loved the world. God loved the world. And the world needs to hear a message of how God sees their original value and how God never will confuse them with what they are going through or what they are enslaved to. And that God loves them so much and he sees their value that he can actually redeem them and set them free from what binds them. And again, you know, like I said in the beginning, we would say, oh, you see, God loves you so much that he wants to take you out of that. So let's put the focus on getting out of this. What about just taking 2 or 3 years in your life and just focus just on the love of God? Would that be wrong? Would that be a sin? No. It will be something that gives you a foundation in your life where you will be so empowered by that love to the point that that love can actually bring forth the freedom. Only by having a deep understanding of how much God loves you, of how God will never confuse you with what you're going through or what bondage you are under, only out of that deep revelation will the love of God have access to our minds and our hearts to truly bring forth a brand new life, where the new life in us is not born from the will of a man or the will of the flesh, where we go through will worship and try and do good and so have a new life. You know, the new life that we have must be something that is born from God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And then it goes on, it says, these are those who are not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh or the will of man, but that's born from God. Now, when we focus on the love of God and we believe in Jesus, when we focus on the love of God, that his love brings forth trust in our hearts, where we can trust God unconditionally because we have seen his love, we have seen his goodness. When that takes place, we find a brand new person come forth, and the life that's in you, the love, the joy, the peace is authentic and it is God's. So I want to say the word love means to be content with. And that is what Esaias says. It means to be well pleased with, to be content with. You know, you will not make an investment if you're not first content. You know, I'm thinking of this one program I watched on television where a guy that restores cars bought this old car. He bought an old AC Cobra and it was just all beaten up and everything. And he started to restore it. And even in the beaten up state it was, he paid $50,000 for it because they knew it was an original AC Cobra. And as he sandblasted the chassis to powder coat it, he saw the chassis number of that car and realized that it was the first AC Cobra ever built. And all of a sudden, it was not worth $50,000 anymore. It was now worth so much more, $3-4 million worth, even in pieces, because the value is not determined by how beautiful the paint is on it, but it's determined by the chassis number. And I want to tell you, the chassis number that is on you is authentic from God. It is, you are the God kind. So many times we want to confuse lost with value. You know, if a valuable coin is lost, it hasn't lost its value. If your cell phone got stolen, I want to tell you the thief can never be the legal owner of that cell phone, and the insurance company will have to pay out the true value of that phone. It doesn't lose its value when it's lost. It doesn't lose its value when it's taken away. In the same way, when Eve was deceived, she didn't lose her value. Adam, when he went after Eve and in all of that, they didn't. Mankind never lost their value. They're still as valuable to God. And God is not confused. We can be confused. We can look at our works. We can look at our deeds and try and find our identity in what we go through and what we do. But God doesn't do that. He will never do that. He's content with you. He made an investment. It's like what that AC Cobra, you know, if you would, you know that's an authentic AC Cobra. And unless you're content with the fact that it's authentic, you will never make the investment. But you know, people were only willing to pay $50,000 for that car. Why? Because they didn't know what the chassis number was. They didn't know that. That's why they were not willing. If they knew the chassis number, if they knew that it was the first AC Cobra ever built. Now, for those of you that don't know what an AC Cobra is, it's a sports car. If they knew that from the beginning, the condition is not the issue, because that can always be fixed. It is about having what is original. And you are authentic. You are originally God's. You belong to Him. You are His child. The prodigal son, when he was lost and he went to a foreign nation and worked for people there, he didn't all of a sudden become a son of one of those people. He was always the son of the father. Always. The only thing is, this son was lost. And that breaks the heart of the father. And as what your son or daughter can be lost, you know, and if your child was kidnapped, you're not going to lose the revelation of how valuable they are. If you think of that movie Taken, and you see how the father goes and his love is expressed in him going and destroying everything that would destroy the life of his child, we see a small picture of the love of our heavenly Abba. You know, the word love in the Greek, the word agape, comes from a Hebrew word, agab. And that word agab means to breathe after, or to behold the beauty and to be stimulated by the beauty you behold, to lose your breath over. In the Hebrew language, it's used in the context of a woman that is very beautiful and she's got many lovers. That word lovers means men that adore her because she is so beautiful. So in the very same way, when God sees us, you know, the Apostle John chose to use the word agape, which means to be content with, to be willing to entertain, to love dearly, to care for from the depth of your heart, to be content with, to lose your breath over. That's what it means. I want to look at Webster's definition. Let us just look quickly at what Webster's says about love. Webster says, in a general sense, to be pleased with, to regard with affection on the account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations and desires of gratification. Now, as you look at that, I want to just point out the words, to be pleased with, to regard with affection. For God so loved the world, for God regarded with the greatest affection on the account of the qualities which excites pleasing sensations or a desire of gratification, the world. So that's what it says. Who love a friend on account of some qualities which gives us pleasure in his society or presence. Point two, an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth, or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure, sensual or intellectually. It is opposed to hatred. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? What Webster says is just an accurate English translation of what the Greek says. It's an excitement of the mind when you behold beauty and value. It is when God saw the world, he was stimulated intellectually and emotionally and sensually inside him when he saw man. The way you will be stimulated when you, for the first time, see, I remember when I saw Helena, my wife, for the first time. It just did something for me. I just prayed. I says, God, help me. You know, and the very same thing is what God feels when he sees you. People might say, you know, Bertie, if we preach the love of God as such a great love, it might just be a license to sin. Now, I want to tell you, when my wife loves me, if I've been away from on a missions trip into Africa, or I've been overseas and I've preached the gospel and I come back home, and you know, she has cooked me a beautiful meal, and she's just dressed herself nicely, and she's done the makeup just right, and I can see that she's just specially done this for me. I'm not thinking on how to cheat on her, because love does not bring forth sin. Love brings forth commitment. Love brings forth a brand new life. What will change the life of a child that's on the street that doesn't have parents? Somebody who loves that child. And what will really cause that love to have great effect on that child's life? It would be if that child can believe that love. The moment that child believes that love, their life will be changed. I want to say to you that God loves you, and he loves you with all his heart. He loves you with the deepest love that you can ever imagine, and you can never exhaust his love. You can never come to the end of discovering how high, how wide, how deep, and how long the love of God is. I want to say to you that as right there where you sit, doesn't matter what you've done today, God never lost perspective of who you are and what is going on in this earth. He knows that this is a broken world. He knows that there were lies that you believed and that you heard. He knows that there are many things in this life that can cause you to be in a place of sin and destruction. And He knows that. And He has come, and He's come to express His love, where He says that, I want to redeem you. I want to save you from destruction. You know, when God looks at you, He says, He doesn't want to say like what people when they get married say, until death do us part. He says, I cannot see that they must go through death, that they must go through eternal destruction. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give them eternal life, for I want them forever with me. God doesn't say, until death do us part. God says, I give you eternal life. For who you are, I want with me forever. Our holiness and our righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit is safe in the platform of understanding and believing the love that God has for us. Glory to God. God loves you. God cares for you. I would like to pray for you. Father, I come and I want to just stretch forth my hands to everybody that's watching this program. I thank you, Father, that their hearts is just awakened unto the love that you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I would like to encourage you to go to our website, dynamicministries.com, and I would like you to download all our material if you can. We've got over 1,000 messages available for free. I've also written 2 books that will really bless you. The books in e-format is also available for free and will really impact your life. Please make use of what we have placed there. It will really bless you. And feel free to contact our office if you need any prayer request, if you've got any prayer request or any help that you need. Thank you so much for watching. God bless you.